that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. That wheel has rolled around again, and thankfully the coffee pot's been working as well. We've got our coffee here, and we say good morning. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, John.
Good morning.
And good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
And this is Ranch Wrangler Richard, and we are all here at the beautiful Radio Ranch. The sun is just, oh, it's been up for about a half hour, I guess. You probably saw it on the way in, huh, Kyle?
I did. It's kind of behind me, but
Beautiful sunrise this morning, and blue skies. Got some clouds over the mountains. I think it's 50% chance of snow and rain today, but
don't look like it.
Doesn't look like it right now. So, if the good Lord wants to send some of that, we'll sure take it, whether we want to or not, because if he sends it, you get it, one way or the other. So, but we welcome you, the remnant, to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers this Saturday morning, April 20th. April 20th?
That's what it is.
Time flies. Well, we'll open up the phone lines in a little bit, but we'll kind of go around the table first and see what everybody wants to talk about. But before that, we've got to open up in prayer. And Kyle, we'll ask you to do that this morning, sir.
Sure. Well, God, my Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather in your name.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, and we ask you to be with us, to watch over us, to guide and direct our thoughts and our words. And we ask you to mold our hearts, Lord. There's over 1,000 scriptures on the heart, and I know it's for a reason. There's a heart problem in the land. You can see it when you watch the news. You can see it when you go to the grocery store. It's everywhere among us, Lord. And we know that the heart can be the biggest deceiver, even to ourselves. And so I ask you, Lord, be with our hearts. Mold it. Get the hardness out of it and the bitterness out of it, Lord. Soften it. Give us strength through it. to stand on your word, but soften it towards one another, those that are truly yours, Lord. And we come to you and we ask for comfort and peace in these last days or whatever days they are, Lord. We just ask for you to be with us and watch over us, guide and protect us, and like I said before, direct us. Lead us in your paths, the straight way, the narrow way. Lord, take us away from that broad way. Lord, again, we just ask you to be with us. Be with the callers. Be with all your remnant out there, Lord. Let them have a good day. Let our thoughts be clear and precise. Let us see the unseen. Give us that spirit of discernment, Lord, to know who the deceivers are, what they're deceiving us in, Lord, and forgive us for being deceived. We ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Kyle. And there is plenty going on out there in the world, from bombings to explosions to earthquakes. I mentioned to Kyle this morning, I've just seen a couple blurbs this week. News report this morning, over 100 killed in China from an earthquake. And seems like just a few days ago there was an earthquake up just between Japan and China. So,
well, and earlier this week there was four of them in Oklahoma.
You know, I heard that. I had a man call in and say that, and he said he heard a little blurb on that, but couldn't verify it, and wanted to know if anybody else could verify that. So I guess we'll take that as a verification for sure. Seems like we read something in there about earthquakes and diverse places and famines and things. And like you mentioned,
you mean it's not Mother Nature?
I think that, no, I don't think it is. I think it is, like Kyle said in his prayer, that these times that we're in, last days, end of times, end of day, whatever it is.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
End of an age, for sure.
Yeah. End of an age. And, you know, this age needs to end.
Yeah.
It is an age of evil. It's an age of ungodliness. It is, and like you again, Kyle, you said in your prayer, and it's everywhere. It's everywhere. How we've changed in the last couple hundred years as a nation.
50 years, less than that.
We say that, but I really think it's God's mercy why it hasn't came yet. Because, I mean, if it's He's going to punish all disobedience when our obedience is complete, He's given us time to get obedient. Because if He's going to punish all disobedience, that's all disobedience.
That's, you know, so, starting the house of the Lord.
Yeah. So there's even though we're anxiously waiting, there's a lot of mercy being given right now for us to get our act together.
Oh, there sure is.
Yeah. Amen.
And people need to remember just to be anxious for nothing too, because you know so many times. You know, if they had a stairway, they'd be calling down fire and this whole place would be destroyed.
We'd all be dead. Whoever called down fire last would be the only guy standing.
That's right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got to watch it when you say that, you know, things can't get any worse either. Things
exactly.
Can't get much worse. Well, we've got to, you know, there's a lot of room for that, too. You know, and it'll happen in the perfect timing, and that perfect timing is in the Lord's timing. We serve the God of time, and you know it. You know, I think that's one of the things that just throughout the midst of everything, we got to remember just to trust in Him. You know, trust Him that you know His timing is perfect, and that's you know one of the most important things that we got to trust Him in. It'll happen when it happens because
Amen.
He is mighty. He is just. You know, we see things. We see things going to going to pot all around us. It's going. Things are happening all over the place, but at the same time, you know, we've got a lot of things that we've got to be fighting for and fighting against. And I think that when He returns and He asks the questions, "Will I find faith?" That's one of the things that we've got to struggle to is to struggle to hang on to that faith and be found swinging that sword of the Spirit when He returns.
Yeah, we gotta we got to remember,
if we're
too,
not
that,
doing our part, what's he going to return to save?
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, our part is to pray, though, too, that intercessory prayer that we sent out and the prayer that we offered up on Wednesday night was answered, because I think they're going to have a hard time converting these Russian Muslims to white supremacist Christians. You know,
right,
we asked
exactly.
for the things in the dark would be revealed and that they'd fall in their own pits. And from what I'm hearing is that first Saudi that they had as a suspect that they're already trying to deport, apparently he's tied deep into possibly even the six or so devout Muslims that serve within the Homeland Security. So they're trying to cover their tracks pretty quickly.
Yeah, and the sorcery that they've brought about in the land, the people's eyes, the spell is ending. The people's eyes are starting to open. You look at the difference in this week, it's anniversaries. You look back at the Waco killing, the Oklahoma City bombing and killing, and how back then, you know, about 20 years ago, the majority of the people just believed what the media told them and, you know, went along with it. Wow, those crazy people out there, they deserve that. You know, that Tim McVeigh, he was just a bad guy and acted alone and, you know, never mind John Doe 1, John Doe 2, any of that stuff. But here a generation later, when these similar things happen, the spell doesn't work as well. I think that the rifle prayer, the pistol prayer for the D.C. sorceries to cease, just like you said, John, the prayers are being answered. People's eyes are starting to be opened. You know, I'm sure hoping that it's that beginning yawn stretch. You know, people are starting to come out of that deep slumber that they've been in, where they don't see these things that the enemy does to them. A lot of it they don't want to. They don't want to see. They don't want to know what's going on. Is how it's been in the past, and it just seems that there are more and more that are starting to see that, hey, wait a minute, you know, that ain't really the way that it is, and that doesn't make sense. And anyway, we are in those days, that's for sure.
Amen.
In go ahead, Jay.
You know, it's interesting too, because then they even bring up the Waco thing. And it was interesting when you hear them talking about, you know, Waco, Texas. It they go on and on and about. Well, they were stashing weapons.
Yeah.
Like that's a death penalty offense. Excuse me. And you know, nobody says anything. You know, nobody talks about 76 murdered women, children. Hello. And they make it out to be like, well, it's because they were stashing weapons. How many years ago was it? Was it 20 years ago?
Yes, I believe so.
That's what I thought it was. 20 years ago. Oh, they were stashing weapons 20 years ago, stockpiling them. So government goes in and kills them, murders them.
Yeah.
And you know, people just they don't even say anything, because I mean, I've heard it on the news several times. Well, it was almost 20 years ago from the anniversary of Waco, Texas, when the Branch Davidians were stockpiling weapons, and the government went out and they had their shootout. Well, yeah, they didn't tell them that they murdered 76 of them in the process of it.
Right.
You know, they make it out like that's some kind of crime or something. And, you know, the people say nothing.
Yeah, and we got Janet Reno number two running the Homeland Security right now, so.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and then, you know, around the 20-year anniversary of Waco, 20 miles away, we had that fertilizer plant explosion this week,
mm-hmm.
is what it was reported. And, you know, the I'm seeing the headlines that they found 12 bodies, but I was seeing things that they said there were 60 to 70 people working at that plant.
Oh, yeah, there's people vaporized.
Yeah, haven't heard anything about that. And,
yeah, they have no idea how many people have missed them.
No. But I would bet you what the death toll will be there on the 20-year anniversary, 20 miles from Waco. I bet you it'll be 78. You know, that's how they do things. you know. That's how they do things. They try to imitate God when they do those kind of things. And that blood sacrifice that they make to their gods, it has a little bit of power to the unsuspecting.
Yeah.
But we have a little more power. We have a lot more power in the power of the name of Jesus Christ and in his authority.
Well, and the difference, too, is what you're seeing nowadays and was what you were seeing, you know, when Waco took place 20 years ago, when 9/11 took place, and these Boston bombings, is there's people that are right away that they're saying, okay, something ain't right here. You know, and they're not going along with the mainstream media saying, you know, oh, it's just whatever they say. They're not just turning on the news and watching it and accepting it for an answer. They're realizing that there's more to the story than was what really took, you know, there's more than to what took place than what they're hearing on there on the modern day media. Has anybody else noticed that?
Yeah, their eyes are being opened. There's, you know, people are, the spell is losing its power. The spell that the people are under, and they're seeing, you know, in the past when something like Waco or 9/11, you know, 9/11 happens, and then after it, you know, a little bit of research shows that there were TV action shows that talked about a plane being taken over remote control and crashed into a building, you know, 6 and 8 months before 9/11, and there were. You know, rappers, album covers that showed the Twin Towers burning and smoke coming up from exactly like happened on 9/11. And even with all those things, for years and years, the mainstream or, you know, and so many people are just, oh, it's just conspiracy. It's just conspiracy. You conspiracy kooks. You crazy people thinking that kind of stuff. When we know our pastor taught us that they, the enemies of Christ, our enemies, they have rules of warfare, and they have to tell either what they're going to do or what they've done or what they plan to do. They have to tell it, and their outlet is the media, Hollywood, the movies, the books, the TV shows.
Well, that's why one of the protocol elders of Zion was to take over the media.
That's right, and it's so they can tell their story, so they can put the spin on it they want. So now you come up to last Monday, and you have two bombings at the finish line of the Boston Marathon. And then you see these stupid cartoons on TV from 3 or 4 weeks ago that show this stupid cartoon guy, you know, that's made up by this Antichrist Jew out in Hollywood. And the big fat guy wins the Boston Marathon. Well, one thing, big fat guys don't win Boston Marathons, okay? But that's their, you know, they want to promote themselves as winning. And they ask
him. Yeah, look at the name of the show, too.
Yeah, yeah, the Family Guy. So they ask him, well, how'd you win? Oh, well, I killed all the other runners.
Yeah, I ran them over.
Yeah, that in itself. And the picture that they had on there, you know, is he's crossing the finish line. Yeah, what, in an old car. And you see all the carnage behind him. So that's one thing. Then in the same show, he's making phone calls on a cell phone, and you hear a bomb going off in the back. Not once, but twice. So, same show, two bombs. You know,
pull it all down.
Right, they tell their story. And that's the other thing. Instead of debating it, instead of saying, listen, you took this out of context and this and that. No, you're right. They pull it. And of course they'll get up and you know, the guy who was it, the writer or the creator of the show, you know, says
outraged.
He's outraged. That's all you hear though. He's outraged. No, he's not. He's smirking. You know? He's getting his jollies that some of the people have figured it out.
You know? But nobody cares.
You remember back when, and the pastor talked about it on the on CDs that he put out. When his grandson was being poisoned by the poop that was being put in the milk. And when he confronted the people about it, the people that were doing it, I think I've got this story straight. You guys were here. You correct me if I'm wrong. They didn't adamantly deny it and all that. It was just like, you finally figured it out. And I remember him talking about this smirk that they had on their face.
Mm-hmm.
Because they want you to know. They want you to figure out that they've pulled off this crime, this thing that they do.
Yep. Amen.
But the people are their eyes are being awakened, you know. Not everybody. You know, Jesus himself said that was one of the reasons that he did things and spoke the way he did, was because if he spoke plainly, certain people would understand and would repent and be saved. And that's why he spoke in parables.
Amen.
And yep. I think that's why that he's only opening some eyes today. What do you have to love to have your eyes opened, Kyle?
Well, you have to love God. Absolutely. And you have to pray, you know. And we try, or Jason tries all the time, and I should try more. I mean, the people have to pray, you know. In the first place, from the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaketh. So if you're not a prayer person, if you're not praying, I mean, that's when you're speaking to God. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I hate to be, you know, negative or anything, but if you're not talking to God, you know, it's because you don't want to. It's because that's not what's in your heart.
Right.
You know? And we have to get back to that. You know, I mean, even Daniel, knowing that it was just a 70-year captivity, I say just a 70-year captivity, when somebody can live and die in captivity, that's quite a long time.
Right.
But he knew the captivity was going to end, but yet he still talked to God and prayed that the captivity would end, you know. And that's our job, so to speak. That's how we yep. become servants, you know.
Right.
Is this Bible, you know, the church world uses this Bible as a text to die, you know. We're supposed to live this to live by. You know, I mean, they're waiting for the rapture, and so there's no big deal. Whatever's going on is going right. on, and it's going to, you know. No, we're supposed to live by this word. And this isn't here for us to die by it. You know, I mean, yeah, we might have to die by it. We might have to die, you know, like Paul said, whether I live or die, I'm in Christ. But this is to live by. You know, I mean, and we can't look at it like, well, we're going to be raptured out of here times or so. But that's a ridiculous thought process. Really, when you think about it, because no man knows the time or the hour. So even if there was a rapture, which there is a rapture, it's a rapture of the wicked, but even if there was a rapture, like they say, you know, they wouldn't have a clue when it's going to happen. So to not care about your grandchildren or your children or even yourself, you know, that you're not going to do the things that the Bible tells you to do. To get right with God, you know, and that's all to the answer of your question, you know, who do we have to love? Because if you love him, what are you going to do? You're going to keep his commandments,
yeah.
You know. You're going to live by the word of God, you know, to the best of your ability.
Yeah, you look in, speaking of Daniel 12, look in verse 9 and 10, it says, he said, go your way, Daniel. For these words are concealed and sealed up until the end time. Many will be purged, purified, and refined, but the wicked will act wickedly. And none of the wicked will understand, but those who have insight will understand. I mean, that pretty much explains it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that insight, where does that come from? It's like Kyle
said. Holy Spirit.
It does, the Holy Spirit. You have to love God. You have to know that he is greater than you are. That he is greater than we are. His plan, his way, is better than our plan. His way is better than our way. You know, the Bible says that his ways are not our ways, and our ways are not his ways. You know, and it's too bad that it's that way, but that's the way it is. You know, I was thinking about, you know, David this morning. You know, David, it says, had a heart after God's own heart. Now, David was just a flesh and blood man like we are. He made mistakes like we do. He sinned like we do. He had to pay the prices, greater prices, I think, than we've had to. But But he had a heart. He chose to have a heart after God's own heart. He chose to love God. And, you know, he there were times he was down. I think maybe it was Jason mentioned last week or something. Somebody did about the Psalms, how they are. It's covered in the Psalms. You know, being up on top of the mountain and everything's going your way, or being down in the valley in the mud bog. I mean, it you know, you see that, you know, the range that David went through. And in all of it, he praised God. He loved God. He sought God's will and God's way. And he knew that God's ways were best. And he knew whether it was a physical enemy that was coming against him, or the temptations in his soul and his spirit and his mind that were coming against him, whatever it was, he could take it to God, and God took care of it.
Yep. I've been reading in Nehemiah, and Nehemiah was the cupbearer. Actually wrote an article about that. But anyways, when Nehemiah saw that his people were distressed and in captivity, and that the gates were broken down and burned with fire, what did he do? He sat down and he wept and he mourned for days, and it was fast. And he was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. That's where we have to get to, that point where we're weeping and mourning for the things that are going on in this country and with our people.
Yeah, yeah, we do.
The scripture to remember is 2 Thessalonians 2:10. With all the deception of the wickedness, for those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth as to be saved. And that's just, you know, that's right where we're at. We know that we're supposed to love them in spirit and in truth. And so much of the time, people just forget the truth aspect of things. They want to worship, but they don't want to worship him in truth. And if they want truth, they don't want a whole lot of it. And, you know, it's something that, you know, people need to take more seriously. And I think that that's one of the things that we're seeing as we go on. And just what we've been talking about is people are after that truth more than they have been in the past. I think that's got to be answered prayers, you know, in the times. You know, the Lord puts these birth pains upon us as a nation to awaken people. And, you know, that's one of the things that's also taking place is, you know, these birth pains are working. They're having their effect. You know, people are looking around saying, hey, what we thought was taking place, maybe there's something else. Maybe there's something different. Maybe we've got a different enemy out there. And, you know, right now it could be the times when that Daniel talks about where knowledge would be increased.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely exciting times. I mean, it's exciting times to share the truth and to spread the truth, because what I'm finding out, too, is that more people are willing to listen to things that they weren't really open to not that long ago.
Amen. Absolutely. And, you know, the thought occurred to me, Jason, when you were saying that, is that, you know, remnant out there, if you think you have some truth of the Bible, you know, or you read about a truth in the Bible, if you'll believe it and apply it, God will give you more. And I think it's just what you read there. You know, if you don't, if you reject it, well, God will take away what little bit of understanding you have. And you know, so to yield to God and to say, okay, God, you know, show me your truth. If you think you know a little bit and he shows you a little bit more, you'll start to see how much more there is. And like you said, Jason, how many the things that we thought were so that just aren't that way. You know, who the people of the Bible are, what we are to be doing today, like you mentioned, Kyle. You know, no, just sitting back and having rapture practice. Take us home, Lord. Okay, everybody lift your hands and look to God. Oh, God, take us home. No. Here in 2 Peter 1, it says right at the very beginning, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. And that's what we're to do. He's given us everything to live this life here in the godliness that he puts out there. And then a little bit later in verse 19, it says, so we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention to, as a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. I think it would do well for us to pay attention to, you know, because when we don't, it's like when it's pitch black and you're stumbling about, stubbing your toe, you don't know what you're going to hit or what pit you're going to fall into when it's dark and you can't see.
Yeah, I think the time is for the meat, though, not the milk anymore, because the hour is late and the time is near. And what I've been telling people lately that I know are living wickedly is I say Ezekiel 3:17-19, you know, I'm to warn you to turn from your wicked way. And if I don't warn you, then your blood is on me. But if I warn you and you don't turn from your wicked way, then that's between you and God and your blood's on you.
Yep.
And when you tell them that, I tell you what, it's like somebody smacked them upside the head and they start to think about it.
And then you grab a baby bottle and give them some milk real quick.
Yeah.
No, I don't give them no milk. I had it out with my older brother last week, and I just finally, I just told him, I sent him that scripture, and I said, I've done my job. I've warned you. Whether you decide to turn from your wicked ways is up to you. And I mean it. I'm done. You know, I've given him all I can. All he does is come back with liberal crap and lukewarm. You know, I told him you're of the Church of Laodicea, and he got mad. But anyways, I mean, that's where we're at, I think. We have to warn those. And if we don't, you know, then it's our fault.
Yeah.
Well, the good thing about it is even in the 12th hour, 11th hour, I guess I should say, there are those that get hired and get the same reward for those that's worked their whole lives.
Right.
Yep.
So, and we got to keep that in mind that, you know.
You can keep praying, that's for sure.
That there will be those that, right at the last, well, God will have his remnant, you know, and some of them will just won't come around till right at the end, you know what I mean?
Yep. And many that think they'll come around right there at the end.
They're asking for trouble. Yeah.
Yeah, their clock's a little off. It's a little slow because that hour is going to come and pass.
Yeah, what's that sticker you had, Richard?
Oh, yeah. We had some bumper stickers for the local Sunday school class. And it was many who, what was it? Many who are waiting to repent at the 11th hour die at 10:30.
Yeah, exactly. Or the Lord returns at 10:30.
Yeah. And you know, it was mentioned earlier today, no man knows the day or the hour. You know, right here in 2 Peter, again, in 2 Peter 3:14, but the day of the Lord will come. So we know that. It's coming. It will come. And how does it come? You know, does it come like he came before, a babe in a manger to save the world from their sins and all that? No. No. The day comes and it tells us the day of the Lord will come like a thief. You don't know when a thief's coming. If you knew when a thief was coming, you know, you'd be there ready for him. Or you'd have a better lock on the door or something. You would be ready. But that's how the day of the Lord is coming, like a thief.
Amen.
And you just don't know. Nobody knows. You know, we've said it before. It comes earlier for some than it does for others. And we are to be ready. It goes on and says, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, that means there is a destruction coming.
There is, and we're supposed to be ready. We're supposed to be blameless. We're
spotless.
Supposed to be godly. We're supposed to walk in godliness. And that's how you're ready. That's how it doesn't come upon you like a thief in the night. Because you're if you live your life like you're going to die tonight, are you ready for the judgment? Because that's what's going to come. I remember Jesse at church a few weeks back, you know, that question was asked, you know, about what happens when you die, you know, and he answered it absolutely correctly. He said judgment, you know. So we're all going to face the judgment, you know.
Yeah.
And but if you're not ready, guess what? You know, if you're one of those that says, I'm going to sow my wild oats and I'll get ready in the 11th hour, like you were just saying, no, that tells you right there you got a heart problem, mm-hmm. you know. You want both worlds. You can't have both worlds.
You can't serve two masters. Right. You cannot.
You know, you got choices to make while they're presented to you, you know.
Yeah.
Now some people are called later than others. I have family members too, John, that, you know, you finally have to get the dust off your feet and walk away and say, hey, until God starts working with them, there's nothing I can do.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And it's sad, it hurts, you know. You talked about that mourning and crying, you know, and surely it starts first with your own household, you know, your own family, you know, I mean... That's who, you know, I mean, you want to be worse than an infidel? Don't care about them. You know, don't provide for them. Don't give them the truths that you got, you know.
Don't warn them like John was talking about warning. You know? Right.
But we are to warn. You know, and then it should hurt. You extend that family out, you know. I seen people on the news yesterday, you know, watching that capture of that other brother, you know, the other Muslim brother. People are just weird, you know. It hurts because, I mean, they're applauding all the officials, all the police, all the FBI. I mean, and it's like, okay, you know, I understand if everything was on the up and up, which it might be, I don't know. If everything was on the up and up, I doubt it is, but, and you're happy the guy got caught, you know, because he committed this horrible crime. There's still some dead people. An 8-year-old boy, was it? You know, and you still got 100 people or so that's maimed. You know, people lost mm-hmm. their legs or what. It's just weird when you see it was like they were at a sporting event. Hey, we just scored a touchdown. You know, and it's just right. like, you know, I understand being glad that they finally got the guy that supposedly, you know, set off the bomb, and he probably did, but I don't know. It's just weird how our people are. It's almost just like they're under this programming, you know. And you know the
people they have. It's like the Tower of Babel. They've got human life at the bottom of the.
Oh table. Yeah, absolutely.
It's at the bottom yep. of the list. Everything else is above it, and that's exactly the way it was at the time of Babel. You know, animals were above human life. Gold, silver, riches were above human life. I mean, you look at all the whole list of things that were above human life, with human life right there, snap dab, at the bottom of the list. Yeah.
And, yeah. and know, what was that? What was that? What was that story? Was that in Jasher where the brick falls?
Yeah.
And they
mourn. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they mourn for the brick, you know.
Yep.
People fall and they just keep on working.
Yeah. Yep. And we're that way today. You know, you got this. You got this murdering Dr. Grosnell that for 17 years has run a couple of abortion mills and child killing clinics in Pennsylvania, I guess. And
they knew about it.
And they knew about it the whole time. And everybody's happy with it. The people that knew about it, they didn't have a problem with it, you know, because.
And the media won't touch it.
The media hasn't touched it, you know. But if it would have been a humane society, if they'd have been killing dogs like that, they'd be protesting like crazy.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And we are.
Or horses or anything.
Anything, that's right. You know, they. I'm glad you brought that up, Jason, because we are. We are as in the days of Babel. We are in a Babylonian captivity again. And the human life, you see that. They care nothing about those babies.
Yeah.
They don't.
Has anybody noticed the right-wingers, you know, the Limbaughs and the Becks and all them, have they been talking about the Family Guy stuff at all? Anybody notice that?
They make fun of it.
Yeah.
Make fun of the people that believe that they're...
Conspiracy theory, yeah. Beck's big on that. Anything that comes out that isn't in line with what's supposed to be thought,
Well, it just shows how they
see. They'll spend hours or weeks on things that, you know, like the birth certificate thing. You know, I mean, they'll spend so much time on that, and then they get something that's obvious that they have right in front of their face that nobody can deny. Yeah. You know, and then they'll act like you're a nut for for bringing that up. That's so weird to me.
Yeah, but see, they're smart, too, because they'll actually devote a section to the conspiracy theories, and they'll put all those conspiracy theories out there just to laugh at them, you know? Mm-hmm. So even the people who somewhat are woken up to what's going on in this country see that and think, oh, well, if, you know, Glenn Beck says that.
Right, then.
But yeah. Look, in Ezekiel 9:4, that's where we're at, I think, too. The Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city, even through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and groan over all the abominations which are being committed in its midst. Well, that's another shibboleth, you know. Who is it that's out there that's groaning and mourning over what's going on in this world?
Right. Who's crying out to God, you know? As 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, you know, when my people who are called by my name humble themselves and turn and call out to him, who's doing that? Very few. Very few. And I think that's just what that in Ezekiel says, John, is that those that are crying out to him, that are saying, it ain't supposed to be this way. You know,
right.
It's those like you and Kyle were talking about that are warning the family members and warning the people and putting the warning out that, hey, he's coming back. You know, we're in that, you know, it's 11:55.
Yeah. Time you read Ezekiel, you get more out of it than Daniel and Revelation, and I'm sure every other chapter, but I mean every other book. But last night on Solutions and then into Jason's program, they ran that speech from the inaugural prayer breakfast 2013. Did you get a chance to listen to that yet, Kyle?
No.
Okay. You need to do it. It's pretty amazing. But the couple things that we came up with mainly was, just as our pastor taught us, rat poison's 98% cornmeal, 2% poison, and there was at least 2% poison in there. The other thing is the booklet that we're just about to print and release is the simple shibboleth. The two simple shibboleths are baptism and using the name Jesus Christ. Well, he failed both of those. So, I mean, if we use those shibboleths, it's pretty easy to see, you know, what side those people are on.
Yes, what also was interesting to see that is they're talking about two completely different consecrations. You know, how they've changed, and there must be some really significance about, you know, everybody wants to point to George Washington being the first president, you know, and talk about him, you know, this country being consecrated right there under Ground Zero of that, on that stone where those Twin Towers were and everything, when it actually took place, you know, a long time before that.
Massachusetts,
so it's pretty obvious that, you know, there's two different systems that they're talking about when anytime that they go into that. And don't know exactly what the connection is, but it'd be worth spending some time and study and trying to figure that out.
Yeah, Doug brought up an interesting point about the stone. They set a specific stone right there where the Ground Zero was, and the company that had the contract said that they had to adjust the stone. So, I don't know. It'd be interesting to see what Adam's thoughts were on that there in D.C. that brought that D.C. street sorcery out.
Well,
yeah, but.
Well, guys, we've got about 15, 18 more minutes. What do you say we open up the phone lines? 307-745-5913 if you have a comment. Or if you want to just call in and say good morning, we can sure do that.
307-745-5913. It was, I had that... Newswire here pulled up on Oklahoma. 5 earthquakes rattle central Oklahoma. And that was earlier this week. I guess there was 5 of them, not 4 of them. U.S. Geological Survey says that at least 5 earthquakes shook central Oklahoma early Tuesday. USGS Jan Persley says the tremors began about 1:45 a.m. and all were centered northeast of Oklahoma City. The first earthquake was centered 3 miles west of Chandler The United States Geological Survey says it was a magnitude of 3.0. 15 minutes later, a 4.3 earthquake struck, and then they had another 3.3 and then another 4.2. So that was kind of interesting. Seems like there was a lot more earthquakes hitting here lately than there has been in the past. We haven't had anything like what China's had or Russia's or the floods, but they're all over the place.
Yep, they are. Well, let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. Hello, good morning.
Good morning. Am I on the air?
Yes, sir.
Good morning, brothers. I just want to share something that the Lord gave me this week. I was listening to one of the tapes from Pastor Pete, and he was talking about the pattern that we would go through in Second Chronicles in the sense of going into the captivity and then repenting and tearing down the altars and such. And to me, this is all about contracting. It's all about being deceived. It's all about not knowing the law of God. And that 70 years is very significant in my mind, in the sense that, you know, and you brothers know this, you know, in my mind it has to do with incorporating the nation and deceiving us, and then 70 years of captivity, which is, in my mind, the bankruptcy of a nation. But specifically, like you said, they have to give us notice, and I think notice is contained in Black's Law Dictionary. And I just happened, the Lord just happened to give me a number of different editions, and I was looking at my third edition, and I suggest highly that the brethren do this, because I haven't looked all the way into it, but in the third edition, it says that we are free to contract, and the case is Meyer versus Nebraska, specifically Meyer versus Nebraska. And then in the fourth, and there's a revised fourth, because that's when everything took place, and then if you go fifth, sixth, all of a sudden, the Bar Association takes over. So just look specifically at law to contract, or the word liberty, but liberty to contract. And that's when we went into bondage. But the good news is, and what I want to give you is, if we look at the ninth edition, which was published in 2009, Meyer versus Nebraska comes back, we're free to contract. And that's all they're trying to do, is get us to recontract, because we've been set free. In my mind, we've been set free. Everything has expired, meaning the Federal Reserve Act, 100 years. Pastor Pete had it dead on, 2008, all those dates that he set up. But to me, we look at the currency. Right now, we have different currencies. That defines our jurisdiction, meaning if we're using FRNs, we're in their jurisdiction. They have complete control. It's commerce. They control commerce through the corporate system. We all know that. God created man. Man created government. Government created corporations. But we also have gold and silver, which is the republic. And in that republic, God requires exclusive contract with him. If we contract, we know by the law, if we contract with another god, we can't covenant with him. That's the law. So we still have gold and silver. But in my mind, the currency of the kingdom is the fruit of the Spirit. That's what we're moving toward. So I just wanted to present that. Also, the good news of Azusa Street, because that's really when the Holy Spirit started to move. Look up the prophecy of Azusa Street from 1906 to 1915. That's when all this came, 1913, where they circumvented. We were deceived. The Holy Spirit was moving. 100 years later, there was a prophecy it would happen again, greater. So I just want to bring some good news in the sense that it's all about contracting, it's all about covenants, it's all about the law, but we move in the Spirit, like the brethren said. We must pray, we must be led of the Spirit, because we all have a job to do. And I think Pastor Pete, he did it on his own. He did it just, I don't know how he did it, but he had great faith.
Well, it wasn't on his own.
Holy Spirit inspired.
Yeah,
yeah, he had the Holy Spirit with him. That was for sure.
Right, and that's what it takes. It takes a man to stand up and say, "Hey, you ain't doing it. I'm standing up." But it's about jurisdiction right now. We must get in proper jurisdiction, or else we're not heard. We know if we go into a courtroom, we hold up that Bible and say, "This is our law," and we don't acknowledge that birth certificate creation. That's the deception. On the birth certificate, they created a corporation out of us. That's how they get their money. Right. We contracting into representing that. Right. It's all you have to do is watch something on YouTube called Season of Treason, Part 1, 2, and 3.
Well,
you
it
just
sure
have to watch
right,
Part 3, and it'll blow your mind.
It sure describes what they've done. According to their rules, their laws, they've set their laws and rules and statutes and judgments up over God's, and then they do their best to hold us to that.
But the Lord told us, be not deceived. That's a maxim of law. So he put, there's a brother that spent his whole life in ecclesiastical law. All this work has been done by many different people, meaning they've given him notice, started in 2008, like, seriously. But they got a response from the Jesuits. You know what the Jesuits said? That's our job. Meaning, you can't be an overcomer unless there's something in front of you. So the idea is, that's why what the brothers have been saying, like Kyle, we must pray and do our job.
Right.
Whatever that is. Because ultimately, and this is the real message that I want to bring to the brethren. Alfred Adass posted a article. It says, all rights flow from title. Now, that is what we're witnesses to. Who has the title deed of the earth? Jesus bought back the title deed of the earth at the cross, at the resurrection. That's what we're to witness to. And he is heir of all things. And when we covenant with him in the new covenant, we become joint heirs. And all this other garbage falls away.
That's right.
Just like when Pastor Pete held up the Gideon Bible and said, this is my law, deal with it. Because he is my master. I only have a duty to my master. You have a duty to your master, whoever that is.
Hey,
and that's all I have to say, brothers. It's good news. It's good news.
Thanks for sharing that.
Amen.
Yeah.
I encourage you to write an article on that if you want to. Send it in. And
right. Jason, you had some comments in there. I think it was his was over with those two lines on. It was overpowering you. You want to repeat those comments? Or?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, and that's one of the things that I've seen a lot of people mistake is they want to take the Bible into the courtroom, like you said, and, you know, argue the God's law. Well, that's their courtroom. You know, that's their building that's been the... Their masons have set up the cornerstones on it, and you know whose world is this, and who's the prince of this world, and who walks the streets, you know? And it's one thing for that to be our law, that's for our people, and to be among Christians. But when you try to take our law into their courtrooms and argue it, that's when things don't work so well. And that's what I've seen a lot of people want to do is they want to take the law of God into, you know, a Masonic courtroom and argue it in there. And it don't work.
Yeah.
But still, if you get dragged in there, like the Word of God says, if you do get dragged in there, I would suggest if it's at all possible that you don't take time to figure out what you're gonna say, that you pray, that the Holy Spirit will give you utterance, and more than likely, if the Holy Spirit gives you utterance, you'll have God's laws, you know, on your heart and your mind, and whatever comes out of your mouth comes out of your mouth. Yet, I agree with you, Jason. If you go about to go into their system to fight your beliefs, you know, your faith in their system, that's crazy.
Yeah.
But there will be times where, you know, it's unavoidable. You'll get dragged into their stupid courts.
Well, we read that. The apostles were given the words to speak. The Bible tells us that he'll give us the words to speak. They were given, you know, when you're, when, if you are in that instance, like you said, Kyle, brought before them, you know, we had the example of Christ. There were times he was brought up into court that he was just silent. And
because it's just like Jason said, because they're not going to listen to him anyway.
And
they're going to twist his words or whatever.
And they always had. And he knew that. And so, you know, there's times that when they talk about silence is golden, there's times. I mean, we have that from Christ, our example.
Well, and people need to remember, too, I've seen a lot of people that they want to go to court and they want to argue God's law and everything, but they sure don't worry about keeping God's law when they're out of that courtroom. It doesn't seem to matter, but as soon as they get dragged into court, they want to, oh, well, we're going to follow God's law. Well, you haven't been following it your whole life.
Right.
You haven't been following it on any of these matters, and maybe you wouldn't be in this courtroom if you'd been following God's law.
Exactly.
But they want to argue God's law.
Yeah. I think that's
one interesting.
Go ahead, John.
One interesting thing that he said was that they confronted the Jesuits, and the Jesuits said, "We're just doing our job."
Yeah, that is very interesting.
It's significant if you look into the Jesuits and you look deep into the Roman Catholic Church and the Vatican. It's significant.
Yeah. Hey, Jason, I got a question for you. Can we do about a 60-page newsletter?
Yeah, no kidding.
Because I got 32 pages slammed full with two articles right now. You know, we've got an excellent article on the power of no that was sent in by an Acres of Diamonds man. And John had said earlier he's got an article in there that we need to get out to the people. It's on biblical fasting, and that ties in with a fast that's being called for here very shortly. And I think you'll get a little bit more of that at the if you come to church with us tomorrow. And guys, we're kind of winding down here, just a couple minutes to go. But yeah, see if you can just double the size of the printer so we can get about a 60-page newsletter out. But that's about where we're at. Volume 4 newsletter is in the works, folks, and so we're going to be on that next week and be wrapping that up and just getting in what we can.
So, the shibboleth is coming out, too.
Yep. We have taken the pastor's sermon, Serpent, Sons of Hell, and a Simple Shibboleth, and we're on the final proof for that, and that, too, will be offered in that newsletter, Volume 4. And I like how I think John made the comment about it, that there's more Bible truths in that little booklet, little 28-page booklet, A Simple Shibboleth, than you'll get in 20 years of going to a Judeo-Christian church. It's another weapon to slide into your arsenal, is what it is.
Amen.
It is a biblical weapon, a biblical, plain, simple truth, if you want to believe it or not.
Well, why don't you invite people to church? We got about 3 minutes.
We got to do that. We're just doing that. You know, we do invite you to church. You can come to church with us by coming to the website, scripturesforamerica.org. Come Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast. I just don't think that's fair. I guess if you know, people that have to live on the East Coast get to sleep in on Sunday, but that's the trade-off for living on the East Coast, I guess. I like it. I like it out West a lot better. But do that. Take a couple hours out of the busy week. Take a couple hours out of gathering more straw and making more bricks and doing what you either have to do or want to do. Take 2 hours out for God. Join us at church tomorrow. We'll have some good music. Get to partake of communion. There'll be a Holy Spirit-inspired message. And
pray that intercessory prayer, too, that's on the web there.
Yes, by all means. Well, gentlemen, again, thanks for joining us. Let me make sure I got the right outro here. And we always go out from coffee with Pastor Song, Snakehide. Listen to the words. It's a rewrite. Our kind of music. Thanks a lot, man. Get the right song here.
Rolling, 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 rolling.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling.
rolling, rolling, rolling. Though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stake high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, big high.
Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride. Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting at the end of our ride.